I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
It is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, environmentalists advocate immediate review of the country's forest and wildlife policies. Government asks to reduce external borrowing and work effectively to raise funds in the country. MMDA's tasks to concentrate more on teacher trainees. And UN pledges to pacify Eastern Congo to secure lasting peace, if necessary.
The executive director of Center for Policy Analysis, Dr. Joe Abbey, has advocated putting in place stringent measures to grow the country's economy. Dr. Abbey's comments come after the Minister for Finance, Seth Tekwe, admitted that the economy has faced some challenges after last year's robust performance. A consultant of the Woodworkers Association of Ghana, Idris Redu, says about 80% of the forest cover in Ghana is lost due to weak application of the forest law enforcement and governance initiative coupled with climate change. He has, among other things, advocated the implementation and enforcement of a draft timber procurement policy to reduce trade and illegal lumber of the market. Mr. Redu was speaking at a workshop for members of the association in Kufuria. Municipal district and district assemblies have been tasked to make provision in their development budget to sponsor teacher trainees to replace and train teachers in schools. Deputy Eastern Regional Minister Mavis Rimpong, who gave the directive, said this will help improve the quality of teaching and learning. The United Nations says it is ready to pacify the troubled Eastern Congo by force if need be. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said this will secure lasting peace in the region. His comments follow last Monday's Goma fighting, in which 20 people died and ended an uneasy six-month calm between the army and fighters from the N23 rebel group.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The executive director of the Center for Policy Analysis, Dr. Joe Abbey, says the country must put in place stringent measures to grow the economy and send a strong signal to the international community that it is working to curb the slowdown in the economy. He asked government to reduce the tendencies of borrowing abroad and work effectively to raise funds in the country. Dr. Abbey's comments come in the wake of a Meet the Press hearings where the Minister of Finance, Seth Tekwe, admitted that the economy has faced some challenges after a robust performance last year. Mr. Abbey was speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News last night. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
We are still not fully recovered from some of the underlying factors that led to the outcome of 2012. And so there is that problem in the system. And then we also were faced with the possibility of the adverse impact of the power supply problem. And this has impacted on business confidence, consumer confidence, and so on. So some slowdown in the economy was also possible as a result of the fact of the difficulties with the reliable power. And when you get a slowdown, then this will also impact on your revenue mobilization. So if the revenue mobilization slows down, then the gap between your spending, of course, and your revenues or receipts will threaten to rise at a time when Ghana, like a lot of Africa, is also finding that concessional aid is not as copiously available as in the past. In fact, there is a continued difficulty in mobilizing grants and other soft loans in the amounts required. So we have a post-PPIC syndrome that we have to cope with, in which we need to be very careful about how we manage the public finances.
You realize that after every general election, there seems to be a relapse. Is this still the case this time, or you suspect that variable?
It's not even that after the election. What happened in 2009 is repeating itself in 2013. We need to send a message to ourselves that there's a need to keep our heads down rather than sending a signal that we intend to curb this appetite for borrowing and for debt to be rising. Last year, we borrowed a lot using bonds, 3-year to 5-year bonds. And last year, we failed to identify if they were really ghosts. I don't believe they were ghosts, but we failed to exercise the ghosts. We promised the payroll audit. We're not able to do it. We repeated the same problem that we had last year, where we raised the minimum wage by 18%. This year, we raised it by 17%. These things about rising inflation, depreciating currency, and widening deficits, they are all interrelated. And so
the executive director of the Center for Policy Analysis, Dr. Joe Abbey. For his part, the former Minister of Finance, Kwakwa Jumaimeno, says the challenges facing the economy is due to overspending.
There is one big thing. We have overspent our resources. What is available to us within a certain period of time? We have spent everything, borrowed on top of future inflows. We have committed, we are owing debt. Several things are happening. And that's our deficit. That is what is causing this big challenge. Personally, I don't sympathize. I don't envy my friend, Honorable Tepe, at all. He's in a big sort of challenge. If I were him, I wouldn't even know how we're sleeping. We have to pay salaries. We have to pay for supplies. We have to pay for services from government. We have to pay people's allowances. We have to pay so much. Right? Consumption, government things that we are using. Even utilities. That is a challenge. And it's a big problem. And you see, when there is no money to put into certain parts of the economy, right, you don't get growth. Jobs are not created. People don't get money even to do their normal things, so government money is not coming. And this is a big problem. That is about all.
Former Minister of Finance, Kwakwa Jumaimeno.
Government has pledged its commitment not to allow the effect of the fiscal pressures to crowd social interventions program that fall under the goods and services category of a budget. To this end, additional revenue will be generated from the budget to restore a balance. The Minister of Finance, Seth Tekme, made this known at a media press series in Accra. He briefed the media on the economy and other related issues. Mercy Darkon reports.
According to Mr. Tekwe, the prospects for growth in 2013 remain strong and government is optimistic to meet the 8% GDP rate target at the end of the year. This is expected to be achieved given the improvement in the power situation and output in the oil and gas sector. He said the first quarter of every fiscal year poses challenges in fiscal management. However, government has also identified further risks to the budget that needs to be addressed.
Government is committed to its social intervention program. And what we have observed is that with the increasing pressures on the budget, we may run the risk of some crowding out of these expenditures. So I wish to assure Ghanaians that whenever we make savings or increase revenues, we will use part of the funds to continue the realignment that would ensure that the government's social intervention programs are not jeopardized. Secondly, I also wish to state that the measures which we have announced, particularly with respect and observations with respect to single spine, is in the context of the policy we have always stated, which is that government is keen on implementing the single spine policy because it deems it to enhance productivity in the public sector. And therefore, what we seek to do
it's not so much to question the relevance or importance of the single spine policy, but to ensure that its implementation remains within the bounds of budget constraints, and also to ensure that expenditures on goods and services and on capital projects will not be crowded out by the wage bill.
Preliminary data from January to April 2013 indicates that on cash basis, both revenue and expenditures fell below their respective targets. However, since the shortfall in revenue far exceeded the shortfall in expenditures, the resulting fiscal deficit fell above the target for the period. He acknowledged that the energy crisis affected revenues in the first quarter of the year. He said this was due to low company profits and low imports as economic activity slowed down because of the energy crisis.
On revenue performance, breaking down the deficit, total revenue and grants for the period amounted to 6.3 billion against a target of 7.1 billion of GDP. In nominal terms, however, the provisional outturn was 26.6% above the outturn for the same period in 2012. So what it means is that GRA is performing creditably well on nominal basis, but falling short of the targets that are in the budget.
Mr. Tekwe said the aim of fiscal policy as outlined in the 2013 budget is to achieve fiscal prudence, including sustainable debt limits and a reduction in the budget deficit from 12% of GDP in 2012 to 9% of GDP in 2013.
Mercy Dakun reporting. About 80% of the forest cover in Ghana have been lost to virtually turn the country into a savanna land due to the weak application of the forest law enforcement and governance initiative coupled with climate change. The rise in illegal lumbering has also compelled Ghana, once a net exporter of timber, to import to augment the demand on the wood market. A consultant for the Wood and Workers Association of Ghana, Idris Redu, gave the information at a workshop for the Eastern Regional Branch of the Wood Workers Association of Ghana in Gofodia. It was sponsored by the Business Sector Advocacy Challenge Fund, BUSAC Fund. Mr. Redu said rate of deforestation of the country's forest is no longer an issue only for wood workers, but a national security one. He called for a review of the country's forest and wildlife policy to shift focus from farm timber production to non-consumption values of the forest, including protecting the water bodies, conservation of biological diversity, and ecotourism development. Mr. Wade also advocated the implementation and enforcement of the draft on timber procurement policy to reduce the trade of illegal lumber on the market. The woodworkers proposed to government to increase the domestic quota law on the allocation of wood products from 20% to 30% to the domestic market.
The poor performance in schools has been partly attributed to the quality of teachers, overcrowding in classrooms, and inefficient provision. As a result, municipal and district assemblies have been tasked to make provision in their development budget to sponsor teacher trainees to replace and train teachers in schools. The Deputy Eastern Regional Minister, Mavis Frimpong, made this assertion during the Eastern Regional Annual Review Workshop in Kofodria in the new Jabin municipality. Here is a report by Priscilla Asante.
The two-day review meeting is to take stock of the past, assess the challenges, and to strategize for the years ahead to surmount the weakness in the system. The Deputy Eastern Regional Minister Mavis Frimpong observed that performance is key to productivity and can be increased through effective supervision and constant monitoring. She said for an effective supervision to take place, supervisors should operate an open-door policy that ensures that there is constant interaction between supervisors and their subordinate. The director in charge of Spectrate of the Ghana Education Service, Cynthia Bosom-Chisam, indicated that the educational system is mandated to be accessed from time to time to ensure the efficient use of resources. She said educational reviews are important since it will help assess how well the various programs have been implemented at the various levels. The Eastern Regional Director of Education, Adriana Candilage, said this year's review workshop is centered on some thematic areas which include quality education, education management, examination malpractices, and general discipline. committee emphasized the need for stakeholders in the educational sector to dedicate themselves to ensure that quality education is not compromised. The chief of MANFI, Osaberima Ansa Sasraku, who presided over the function, encouraged teachers and students to play their role effectively to ensure transformation in the system.
A report by Priscilla Sante.
The president of the National Association of Early Childhood Development Centers, Mrs. Diana Chum, has urged heads of early childhood development institutions to employ trained caregivers to enable the children to receive the right tuition. She said early child education requires a lot of resources and therefore called on the government to help the association. She was speaking at the inauguration of the national executives of the National Association of Early Childhood Development Centers in Accra. Nana Momari has more.
As part of its aim of enhancing quality education for children at the early age in Ghana, the National Association of Early Childhood Development Centers also brings together educators and caregivers to foster unity and learn to help educate children. Mrs. Chum said due to the limited availability of teaching and learning materials, those manufactured locally which are used to complement the education of the children make the training very expensive.
Our main aim is to bring educators and caregivers together in order to foster unity and learn and educate ourselves in order to help preschoolers. Like any other association, we face challenges. But what I must say is that the challenges are under our control. Challenges of getting enough teaching and learning materials, enough toys. So at the moment, we are trying to use locally manufactured materials. We are also relying on foreign ones, which are rather very expensive. The advice I will give to my fellow school owners is that they should employ trained caregivers. You might not get those with degrees for now, but even those that are prepared and love children, you can give them the 8-week training and Montessori training that are available in the country so that they are also empowered to do the right thing. The children are too delicate to be toyed with at this time in their life, so I want to encourage all school owners to let them feel free, play a lot, and learn through the play.
Mrs. Chum commended government for its support for the past years.
The government, I think, has started in a very nice way by actually providing us with training. So they help us, but we must say that we still need more because there are other schools that we have to get. With the resources, yes, we need more in addition to what they give us.
That was the president of the National Association of Early Childhood Development Centers, Mrs. Diana Chum.
The Nkrazu Traditional Council has pledged its support to the Bruno Ahafo Regional Minister, Paul Evans Edu, in championing the socio-economic advancement of the region. The Omaihene of Nkrazu, Okatechie Kudomajima, made their pledge when Mr. Edu paid a courtesy call on him at his palace at Nkrazu as part of his working visit to the Nkrazu South Municipality and Nkrazu North District. Emmanuel Mensah-Bludu has more.
The regional minister, Evans Edu, as part of his itinerary, interacted with staff of the Nkrazu South Municipality and inspected some selected development projects in the two administrative areas. The visit to Busumia, the capital of the Nkrazu North District, revealed the sharp contrast between the headquarters of the Nkrazu South Municipality. A cursory looked around revealed the deplorable nature of the roads in Busumia. The Omahin of Nkrazu, Okitechie Kudom Ajimai, requested for some development projects, including a teacher training college and roads.
You will see that people have built so many houses along the path, leaving a vast land unprotected. So I'm appealing to the hierarchy of the police to at least deploy personnel on guard duties to protect the area for the traditional council.
Omahin of Nkrazu, Kitechie Kudom Ajimai, the regional minister, Evans Edu, promised that the NDC government will do all within its power to improve the standard of living of Ghanaians in a systematic way.
We saw a lot of projects going on. At Nkrazu North, we saw the clinic that the assembly is putting up. We also saw some bungalows for the assembly staff. staff. Then there were some few classrooms also going on and dormitories at the senior high school. And here we've seen what assembly is doing for the polyclinic. Even though we have other problems, look at the market, we have to do some drains and other things here. So it has been a very interesting day. Yeah, I think it was good that we visited the place, and we have decided to meet the contractor on Tuesday to know his problems, if any. They always have to be assigned, and then they have to ensure that the consultants are always supervising the work of the contractors.
Benue Ahafo Regional Minister Paul Evans Edu, and in that report by Emmanuel Mensah Bludu.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Environmentalists advocate immediate review of the country's forest and wildlife policies. Government asked to reduce external borrowing and work effectively to raise funds in the country. MMDA is tasked to concentrate more on teacher trainees. And UN pledges to pacify Eastern Congo to secure lasting peace if necessary.
The rest of the news. The Supreme Court has adjourned sitting on the election petition to Tuesday, May 28, 2013. General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Asiedu Nketia, will continue to be in the witness box as counsel for the third respondent, Chachu Chikata, takes him through examination in chief. The NDC legal team has hinted that Mr. Chikata will likely complete the examination in chief on Tuesday for cross-examination to start. Bubu Klinogo and Georgia Sikri report that the first day Mr. Asiedu Nketia in the witness box was characterized by the objection from petitioner's lead counsel, Philip Addison.
Meanwhile, a legal practitioner, Dr. Maurice Appel, says Asiedu Nketia, the star witness of the first and third respondents of the ongoing presidential election petition, is over elaborating his answers to questions posed to him during his examination in chief. This, he said, is likely to affect him during his cross-examination by the petitioner's legal counsel. He says though Mr. Asiedu Nketia is performing well, it is too early to draw conclusions. Dr. Appel was speaking on Behind the News.
The Osun District Court, presided over by Abuaje Tando, will on the 7th of next month rule on the extradition of Ghanaian musician Deba Echampo to either stand trial for assault and defilement in the UK or be discharged. This will be after the state has responded to a filed address by counsel for the accused, Augustine Obor. Mr. Obor filed his process yesterday with the court's registry, according to Chief State Attorney Yvonne Obuobisa. She is yet to be served with the address of the defense, but the magistrate directed that she filed her response by the 3rd of next month. Mr. Champon is on a summary trial for extradition for the offense of defiling his 9-year-old stepdaughter and assaulting another stepdaughter.
Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire, with support from the USAID, West African Trade Hub and ECOWAS, have jointly established the border information centers at the Elubo and Noi borders. The information centers will provide information on regional trading rules and procedures to facilitate customs processing, reduce costs and delays, and generally enhance trading among ECOWAS states. Desmond Kujo filed this report.
The Elubu and Noi Information Centers are the fifth to be created to promote a common market where goods and services can move freely from one country to the other. A lot of successes have been chalked up since the creation of the other borders. For instance, the Ghana-Togo border created in 2011 has reduced the time it takes to move goods from Togo to Ghana by about 66%. The same success is anticipated with the inauguration of the Elubu and Noi Border Information Centers. It is also expected that the two major setbacks relating to delays and harassment and the lack of information on processes and procedures will be dealt with. The CEO of the Ghana Shippers Authority, Kofi Mbia, said the authority is determined to ensure that trading within the sub-region is smooth and hassle-free. He was hopeful that the officers at the centers will ensure efficiency and increase intra-ECOWAS trading. He also expects that the center will help importers exporters and transporters in the sub-region to become globally competitive. The Deputy Western Regional Minister, Alfred Jan, asked personnel of the Customs and Immigration Service to effectively use the centers to improve trade between the two countries. The U.S. Ambassador to Cote d'Ivoire, Philip Carter, noted that delays and cost of doing business in West Africa is affecting the region's growth and development. This prevents businesses from expanding, hence their inability to create jobs and reduce poverty. He called for close collaboration between the personnel of the two countries at the border.
That was a report filed by Desmond Kujo. Amnesty International has advised government to make human rights a priority in political programs and also implement a clear agenda for it. The director of Amnesty International Ghana, Lawrence Amesu, said millions of people continue to suffer abuses while government show interest in protecting national borders rather than the rights of their citizens and that of those seeking refuge within those borders. Mr. Amesu was speaking at the launch of the State of the World Human Rights Annual Report in Accra, which highlights the situation of refugees and migrants and other critical human rights issues last year. Cynthia Boateng has the details.
The State of the World Human Rights Report by Amnesty International is a 300-page book which provides a comprehensive global overview of the situation of human rights in 159 countries. It also reflects the work done to combat abuses and lays out its future agenda to address challenges. The director of Amnesty International Ghana, Lawrence Amesu, said, "In the past years, the various governments have failed millions of refugees and migrants as they appear to be more concerned with national borders than human beings." He said, "People who escape conflicts and persecution to seek work and better life have been abused." This, Mr. Mesu noted, can be attributed to the excuse that human rights and internal affairs and international actions cannot be used in addressing them. Mr. Mesu called on government to ensure full compliance with the country's international and regional human rights obligations and commitments as set out in the treaties it has ratified. He said, "This will go a long way to reduce all forms of abuses, especially violence against women and girls."
Cynthia Boateng's report.
In foreign news, at least 20 people have been killed after suicide bombers in Niger. They detonated two car bombs simultaneously, one inside a military camp in the city of Agadez and another in the remote town of Alid. The incident happened inside a French-operated uranium mine. Several dozens of people were also injured in yesterday's attack, which were claimed by the Movement for Oneness and Jihad in West Africa, MUJAO, as a revenge for Niger's involvement in a French-led military offensive in neighboring Mali.
And troubled Eastern Congo has the best chance in years to secure a lasting peace as the United Nations stands ready to pacify the region by force if need be. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says fighting that erupted last Monday near Goma, Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo's largest city, killed at least 20 people and ended an uneasy 6-month calm between the army and fighters from the M23 rebel group. Mr. Ban said on a visit to Goma with World Bank President Jim Yong Kim a day earlier, the bank announced it would give $1 billion to help finance health and education services, hydroelectric projects, and cross-border trade aimed at fostering development and peace in the conflict-ridden Great Lakes region. So in the news, the main points again. A consultant of the Woodworkers Association of Ghana says the weak application of the Forest Law Enforcement and Governance Initiative is destroying about 80% of the forest cover in Ghana. He has therefore suggested the implementation and enforcement of the draft on timber procurement policy to reduce the trade of illegal lumber on the market. Executive Director of the Center for Policy Analysis, Dr. Joe Abbey, has called on government to develop stringent measures that can grow the country's economy instead of borrowing abroad. Thus, if done, will show the international community that Ghana is able to work on its economy to make it better. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi in Accra.